He is risen.
Amen.
So that greeting on this day in the year in many countries around the world, on the streets, not just in church gatherings, but on the streets, you say, "He is risen." And the greeting from somebody passing you as you walk into a shop or a store or a restaurant, the greeting back is, "Indeed, he has risen." So that woven into the cultures of many countries is this expectation that's a known fact, that he is risen. So on this day where many around the world set aside as a day to acknowledge the resurrected Christ, we should celebrate that fact is placed in front of people around the world and be rejoicing in that. He is risen. Paul writes in Philippians these words, "That I may know him." That I may know him. Thank you, Ian. Appreciate it, brother. Paul is calling the church in Philippi to the encouragement of Christ. And he's saying, take the Christ you see, follow him, pattern your life after him, that I may know him. And after I asked Ian to stop in verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not equate equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. After he wrote that, he wrote what we just read. I want to know him. Paul, sounds like you know him. Paul met him. Jesus taught Paul personally. He says for 3 years, Jesus instructed him. And after that, he said, I want to know him. So we're going to be looking at the letter to the Philippian church. We're going to be spending our time a lot in Philippians chapter 3, because that's where he wrote this. I want to know him. Let's pray. Holy Lord, magnificent God, help us to never be satisfied with being at the edges, at the fringes of knowing you, of knowing your Son, of knowing your Word, and of knowing your walk. Father, we want to know you. We want to know your character. We want to know your nature. We want to know your person. And we want to know Christ. We want to know your Son. We want to learn today how and what and in what ways we need to know him. Thank you so much for calling us to greater and greater levels of devotion, of knowledge, of heart, of faith. There's nothing greater than this, Father, yet we keep grabbing onto the world and trying to hold on to it. Help us to learn, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians chapter 3, please turn there. We're going to spend some time in this. Every chapter in the book of Philippians talks about joy. You know, Philippians was written with Paul in prison. He's expecting to be dragged out of his cell any day and executed. He doesn't know if he's going to survive any particular day. And he writes over and over and over again the way chapter 3 begins. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you. It's safe for us to learn that. We all think we're going to make it till tomorrow. I doubt that anybody's going to drag us out of our house and execute us this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow morning. It might happen. But in the face of anything in front of us, except giving up on Christ, in the face of anything in front of us, rejoice in the Lord. It's a great reminder. It's a great thing to be called to. Every chapter in Philippians calls us to joy, calls us to rejoicing, calls us to confidence. And then he writes, beware of the dogs, verse 2, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in spirit, in the spirit of God and the glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. It was good that we were reading in Hebrews just a little bit ago. Thanks, Craig, for that. Reminding us this mix of Jewish and Christian ideas in the first century. That there were forces trying to drag people back away from Christ, saying that's not what God wants. God wants us to stay in the law. God wants us to stay in the Jewish traditions. God wants us to stay in the pattern that Moses and Abraham gave us, not in this stuff about Jesus. Craig was reading to us about the emptiness of the Jewish sacrifices, and God did that on purpose. That the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. The whole book of Hebrews is talking about that. Even though God gave the traditions and the teachings of the law and of the Jewish pattern of worship, that it was not complete, that Christ was needed. And so Paul's warning the church here, there's a force of people who hang on to the circumcision of the traditions, those laws, and who put confidence in the flesh. And he says, no, no. He said, if anybody, verse 4, if anybody should be confident in this, I should be. Read verse 4 and through 6 with me. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I followed the law my whole life. I was so zealous, I dragged Christians into prison. I was determined to stop them from failing and damaging the cause of the Jewish pattern. I persecuted the church. I followed that flawlessly in my life. Obviously, we know no man followed the law flawlessly. But he could take confidence in that, and he says, no, no, no. None of that satisfied. Only Christ satisfied. And in verse 7, he says, whatever things were a gain to me. And anyone here can say these words. We all can't say what Paul said about his Jewish faith because most of us didn't come through that. But we can all say this. Pay attention to verses 7 and 8. But whatever things were gain to me, those things I count as loss for the sake of Christ. That's an odd statement, because you think about your education, you think about your training, you think about your job, you think about your career. No. Compared to Christ, all that's a distraction. God can use it for good, but in focusing on Christ, all that's a loss in comparison to Christ. More than that, I can count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The word rubbish there is garbage, stinky, slimy, smelly garbage. Now that's quite a statement when you realize that this man was so focused on obeying God, he really, really, really wanted to obey God correctly, that he attained the title of Pharisee. His family was so careful about his upbringing that all of the obedience points were counted throughout his life. And he says, no, compared to Christ, it's garbage. That's strong words. We sometimes try to keep our foot in either place. We don't want to let go of the pride of our job or our career, or our education or our titles or our placement or our home or our bank account. I want to hang on to that. But yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm not letting go of this stuff. But what's your attitude about it? It's a dangerous, dangerous compromise. He says, beware of those. Watch out for evil that asks you to keep hanging on. Keep hanging on. Put your hope in your bank account. Put your hope in your career. Put your hope in your health. Put your hope in your comfort. Put your hope in your life. Paul says, I gave it all up. If you want a drastic reading, you can read 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul talks about the life he has serving Christ. I've been in far more labors. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. I've been in far more labors and far more imprisons. I've been beaten times without number. He can't even count how many times he's been beaten for the sake of Christ. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. You know why it's 39 lashes, right? The punishment was 40 lashes of a whip. But just in case someone miscounted, the Jews were so careful and so legalistic, in case we miscount, we don't want to ever hit 41. We'll just beat him, whip him 39 times, just in case, so we don't break the law. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the open sea. I've been on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, in danger from my countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the wilderness, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Paul's persecution even came from men, women maybe, who claimed Christ. He said, yeah, I gave up everything for Christ. He gave up his family. He gave up his relationships. He gave up his title. He gave up his income. He gave up his health. He gave up his safety. I gave it all up. Rejoice always. This is the man talking about walking a path of rejoicing in Christ. We're getting to our point. We're getting to the verse. Verse 9 of back in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9. That I may be found in him. You see, we don't understand. The thing we don't understand, I considered all of that stuff. I considered all that I gained, my degree, my titles, my career. It's all stinky garbage. That I can be in Christ, for nothing matches that. What we don't understand, we're sitting in this clean, brightly lit room in comfortable chairs. Most of us took a shower this morning and had something delicious to eat or drink today. And even though the roads are difficult, our vehicles are warm and easy to drive, and we get here comfortably and well, and we think, wow, what a life. He says, no. This is not to be held on to. Christ is so much more precious and priceless than all of this. What we don't know is we're kind of blinded by all the good comfort around us. And I tell you what, it's easier in this life if we were living in poverty and persecuted. Then we'd long for Christ. Then we'd be hungry. Then we'd be passionate and to never, ever, 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 ever let go of him, to get to know him better. Because this life is rough. The more comfortable this life gets, the harder it is to see the value of being with Christ, of knowing what salvation is, of knowing what eternity is with our magnificent Heavenly Father, who's infinitely awesome. We don't understand the preciousness that we have in Christ. Verse 9 again, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. There's where you ought to be turning the soil over in your life, so to speak, if you don't mind gardening metaphors. There's where you ought to be putting extra fertilizer in, is in your faith. Dig into your faith, deepen your faith, strengthen your faith. Get passionate about your faith, your fellowship, the faith that drives you to closer to God, more hungry for Christ, more passionate about serving your brothers and sisters, more devoted to his body. Dig into your faith. And here's our verse. That I may, verse 10, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. Paul, you met with him. Yeah, but I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. He saw the resurrected Christ, but he wants to know the power of his resurrection, because the scripture says that that's what's working in us. The power in us is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. We read in the New Testament. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Does this sound familiar to you? There's a song we sometimes sing, shaped around these words. I want us to sing it now. These are the words behind us. And it's the first half of the song is almost perfectly echoing verse 10. And then the second half of the song calls the rest of our life to follow what we just learned in the first half. You know the tune. I'll try to lead it here. Ready? I want to know Christ. and the power of his rising, share in his suffering, conform to his death. Joy follows suffering? Life? You think we'd be mad to say those words. Joy follows suffering? Life follows death? We're called to things upside down in Christ. The first shall be last. The greatest among you shall be the servant of all. Joy follows suffering. Life follows death. The way up is the way down. The humility of our lives is when God raises us up, right? So, did you sing just now? Did you sing those words that you want to share in his suffering? That's what I just sang. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, verse 11, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We're to participate. We're asking to participate in his suffering. We're asked to be conformed to his death. Do you remember? What does Galatians 2:20 say? I have been, that's another song, right? I've been crucified with Christ. What's so awesome about Galatians 2:20 is it's past tense. Written for us to read, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You see, this day of When so many gather together to talk about the resurrection of Christ, Paul says, I want to participate in that. I want to conform to his death. I want to do what he did. I want to know his suffering. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I still have is not mine anymore. It's not mine. We'll get to that in just a second. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you remember? Do you remember your crucifixion? Some of you are ahead of me, right? Craig did another favor for us. He read for us Romans 6, right? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized in Christ have been baptized into his death? We therefore have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-7. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall all be also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. You see, it's already settled. If you've been baptized into Christ, your crucifixion is already complete. You died, you're buried in the water of baptism, and you're raised again. You're already, you've already cast, done away with your vote. It's not you anymore. It's not your life anymore. Colossians 3 says it, says what Galatians 6 says and what Romans 6 says, Galatians 2, you know what I mean. Galatians 2 and Romans 6 verses say, real briefly, it says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Done. You died. The magnificent thing about this resurrection, about this transformation in Christ, when Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want fellowship in his sufferings. I want to be conformed to his death. The reality of our choice when we come to Christ, it's why this decision for baptism is so serious. We're not joining a club. We're not gaining a title. It's not, following Christ is better than following other stuff, so I'll follow Christ. No, it's dying to ourselves. Whatever the cost, he suffered for that. I don't want my Christian life to be a walk in the park. Whatever he's got for me, I got it. It's quite a call that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Paul says, I want that. We'll get to what he asks of us in just a little bit, but let's do it again. Let's sing it again. Will you?
I want to know Christ and the power.
Scripture doesn't lead us in unrealistic things, because immediately after this, Paul says in verse 12, Philippians 3:12 now, not that I've already attained it. Oh man, thank you, Paul. I thought we'd really missed something. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. But your life, but this guy, me, keeps saying, hey, I want to vote here. And I have to keep telling myself, you don't get a vote. You died, Robert. Christ is Lord. Not that I've already obtained it, I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ. I don't know how you got into trouble when you were young. You ever had somebody grab the back of your collar? Hey, you listening to me? I remember my football coach. You're wearing a football helmet, and man, he had, you didn't pay attention, you didn't turn the right way in a play, he grabbed your face mask and jerked you around. Where are you going? You paying attention? Get back in there. You know, okay. Laid hold of, you've been laid hold of by Christ. I want to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Back your collar grabbed, your shirt, your jacket laid hold of, your arm grasped by a corrective parent or a loving caregiver for you. Hey, you paying attention? I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. You got me now. You were laid hold of by Christ. Paul said, I'm not there yet. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet. But, verse 13, but one thing I do. It's not complicated. One thing I do. Forgetting what's behind. Reaching toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's in the way for you? Your feelings hurt? You've been insulted? The church has let you down? It happens. You're hurting. Lonely, you're anguished, we get confused, we get lazy, we get selfish. What's in the way? Get rid of all of it. None of that is worth failing to follow Christ. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what lies ahead, I press on. I will never, ever, ever, ever give up on following Christ. Can you say those words? Can you make that absolutely in your prayer tonight? Will you say that? Will you say it now and under your breath in your prayer right now? That you will never quit following Christ. I press on toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, verse 15, as many as are perfect have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will show you that. God will reveal that to you. Father, I don't know where I am in this. Ask God. He'll show you. What do I need to get rid of? He'll show you. Help me, Father. However, let us keep on living by the same standard to which we have attained. Verse 17, all of that, Paul says to us, brethren, join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, as I have often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame. You see, that appetite of the world that I want. I want something for me. If I don't take care of myself, nobody else will. I've got to look out for number one. I just want to be happy. We have all sorts of things that are me, my, I. And he says, get rid of all of that. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. Who set their minds on earthly things. My money, my house, my politics, my happiness, my title, my career, my goals. Can I say my hunting trips? No, I shouldn't say that. I just want what I want. What's wrong with that? I just want to be happy. What's wrong with that? It's all wrong. It's all garbage. It's all worthless. Any of it that gets in the way of Christ. Your career is his career. Your money is his money. Your home is his home. Life is his life. You died. And then these two verses. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Exclamation mark. I like things like exclamation marks. For our citizenship is in heaven. Forget that American citizenship doesn't get you very far. In fact, it can easily get in the way of a lot of things. Our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state. We don't look like much right now. pretty ugly, at least up here. You guys look great. We'll transfer the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Things we don't understand. We don't understand what we're toying at the edge of. Believe it. There's glory in Christ. By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. In Christ, we are victorious. We will be transformed. We don't belong here. You feel like you want something else? You dissatisfied? Good. Good. He has something else. This earth is not supposed to satisfy. You limp through this earth. Even our best relationships, we hurt each other. This earth, there's always this longing for more. We want something more, and you were built for more than this. We will be transformed from our humble bodies to be conformed to his body of glory. Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know his suffering. I want to share in those. I want to be transformed and conformed by his death. If there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, it's a call. It's such a gift. It's such a magnificent place we've been brought to that we might know Christ. If you have any need that we can help you with, whether to prayer or whether for baptism or whether for study, please let us know. What a great thing we've been given in Christ, that we all can participate in his resurrection. Please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.